It is Dan Riccio, Randeep Janda. Let's bring in our next guest. He is the triple threat on digital, sportshead.ca, on television, and on radio here with us. It is Ian McIntyre. What's up, iMac?
I wish I had a some sort of real hip wrestling reference for you.
It doesn't have to be hip. It could be an old school Stampede wrestling reference if you have those.
Well, not really. When I was really little, the bad guy was the Brute, who looked like a peeled potato. Okay. He was like 400 pounds. I think he wore the Speedos too.
Okay. So you weren't a Bruno Sammartino guy, eh?
No. Okay. No, I haven't been a wrestling guy ever, really. But what I appreciate about it now, though, is for a long time, and this is why I wasn't a wrestling fan, because for a long time there was this obviously dishonest masquerade about it being authentic sport, right?
Right.
And now they've sort of dropped that guise, and it's all entertainment. And now I appreciate it. Well, not a big fan, but I appreciate it now because it's drama. It's make-believe, you know, and storylines and good guys and bad guys. So,
yeah, it's scripted. It's a bit of a soap opera. It's kind of like Canucks hockey right now.
Yes. Michael Farber, the great writer for Sports Illustrated, and before that, the Montreal Gazette, said the Montreal Canadiens were the greatest soap opera going. And that term can apply to any NHL team in a Canadian market, because if you think about it, the plot literally is never ending. Until the team moves, it is never ending. The cast of characters, there's always holdovers and favorites and guys you dislike, but there's constantly new people coming into the cast, new plot lines. It's fantastic. That's why we're sports fans.
It's
real. It's real.
It is real.
Well, real in a make-believe kind of way, in this alternate reality pro sports kind of way.
It is the best reality TV we have. But yesterday's loss, you know, it's been kind of the same storyline a little too often this season, but it did feel different in the sense of the way Travis reacted to it, calling it a emotional loss for the team. And kind of, you get almost this fed up feeling from everyone involved, coach, players, fans, of how this team continues to find ways to lose.
Yeah, and I think people, and I hesitate to say this, but I think people have been patient, because we do tend to overreact, good and bad. We tend to be a little too reactionary. But I think people have been patient, waiting for the team to get out of that funk by playing better. And once you start playing better, then you start getting better results. And they've got the playing better part down. They just don't have the results down. And we're not talking about two or three or even four games anymore. It's seven games. Seven games since the team bottomed out in Toronto, came back with a good effort there, came home, four games against Calgary, now one against two against Winnipeg. Seven games that they have arguably been the better team and should have won at least four or five of those and could have won all seven. I know that sounds ridiculous to say out loud on the air. The Canucks could be on a seven-game winning streak. But they've won two, not four, not five, two. And I think that's where the frustration is, because, you know, it's one thing when you're playing awful and everybody knows you're not even giving yourself a chance because you're just imploding. There's no way you can win the way they were playing most of those games in the first 3 weeks. But then when you play well, that's encouraging to a point. And the point, apparently, is once you lose three or four of those games in a short period of time that you should have won, then it starts to become discouraging. And I think that's what Travis was alluding to. Is there beyond, as I wrote last night, there's no moral victories, right? Not anymore. And last night, even though they got a point, that was still a moral loss, along with the actual loss, because before they had to rally to get that point, they led by two on home ice and were controlling the game. And then it was 2-1, and then Holtby couldn't come up with a save in the third period when they needed one, and they lose again. And so, yeah, the Canucks got a point. Well, the other team left Vancouver with four from two games, and that's one of the teams you're trying to catch. So I understand we've kind of turned a corner now where it's not good enough to play well. Now you have to play well and see that through. Have that good play manifest itself in winning some games, and hopefully not one out of two or even three out of five. Now you got to start collecting points game after game after game if you're going to stay in this.
Yeah, if you want to get near the playoffs, not even close to, or in the playoffs, but near the playoffs, you have to start getting a streak together. You talked about how they're, you know, playing well, and for the 40 minutes, they looked like the stronger team. They were the better team. But those final 20 minutes that really lacked that resilience and that confidence, did the early season struggles from this team really rattle their confidence and mentality? Is that what we're seeing right now?
I think it's the early season struggles, but I think it's just losing generally. When you've lost as often as they have, they've lost 14 times in 22 games with two loser points, but there were still losses. When you've lost that many times, you always have, I think, this, whether you know it's in the front of your mind or in the back of your mind, there's always this sense of dread when things start to go poorly in a game, because you've experienced already so many times where that dread turned into a loss. And some of them were bad losses in the first 3 weeks. Now it's just losses where at the end of the night you say, well, I'm not sure we could play any better, and yet we still lost. So, yeah, there's definitely, and it's not just with this team. It's any team in this position. There's always, and people who have played sports know this, there's always a psychological aspect to losing, just as there is to winning. You know, the teams that get on a roll, like Toronto is a great example. When they played Vancouver in the third game and had no business even being in the game, when they went to the third period, they had so much confidence and muscle memory from winning early on that there was nothing in their way mentally. They all they had to do was execute and perform to their ability, which they did in the third period and beat Vancouver. Well, it goes the other way with losing too. It is a weight you have to carry, and it's something that obviously gets in the way of winning and extends losing streaks. But there's no way to shed that burden until you win a few games. And better yet, win a couple of games that you shouldn't win. Win a couple of games when you're not at your best. See how much that does for your confidence.
Yeah, this,
so the Canucks are a long way from that. Right?
Yeah, they need so much to go right for them in such a short space of time. No, I'm not making any short jokes, so both of you back off.
Didn't say anything.
But
we don't have to.
I'm scarred now. Elias Pettersson and company, though. You know, one of the things that kind of gets to me when they're down a goal or whatever it might be, IMAC, is we see Pettersson and Miller and even Horvat or Hughes, you know, they just kind of go into DIY mode, do it yourself, and they try to do too much. And they're just the team mentality that took them so far last year kind of goes out the window.
Yeah, I'm not really seeing that, Dan, in these seven games. I don't see individuals. I mean, the only guy who's trying to do too much, but he's always trying to do too much, is JT Miller, because he's always, you know, trying to make a pass, and sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. But I didn't really detect that myself. I saw that more when things were really atrocious in the first 3 weeks, and the Canucks were getting blown out and they were giving up, you know, 5+ goals per game. That's when I saw more the individualism and, you know, I'm going to show them kind of play on the ice. I honestly haven't seen that in these 7 games. I mean, you always see it in moments. There's always guys who at times will overhandle the puck or try to, you know, rush 1-on-3. But I haven't seen that in these 7 games. I think the team has, for the most part, stuck to the process. And I hate to even use that word because it's become such a cliche from coaches. So I think the Canucks, that's why they've outplayed teams, arguably, for the last 7 games. Certainly over the 7 games in its entirety, they've been the better team. They've been better than their opponents over those 7 games. I think that's largely because they have had a lot more discipline in sticking, not just sticking to the system, because what does that really mean, but just making better choices, you know, getting out of their end quicker and more cleanly, not going laterally with the puck as much, going north-south instead of east-west. That's what I've seen, but I could be wrong.
You're listening to Reach Deeper, joined by Ian McIntyre, Sportsnet's Triple Threat. We were talking about Braden Holtby before we started talking to you. I'm Mac, and he admitted not a good game from his perspective. There's a couple of goals that he'd like back. Is that a game where you look and say, okay, this is where Thatcher Demko officially takes over? Travis Green was, you know, admitted kind of indirectly that, yeah, you know, if Braden Holtby thinks those are bad goals, then I would agree with them. Is this the moment where Thatcher kind of runs with it?
Yeah, I think it's clear now that Thatcher is their best hope. He has the highest. He has a higher ceiling. And even if Holtby were playing, you know, well, Thatcher is still the guy who has the higher ceiling long term. He's their goalie of the future. He's the guy who's going to be the starter, whether it's now or next year or the year. He's the guy. That's what they made clear when they let Markstrom leave. That's how much they believe in Thatcher Demko. So Demko was always going to be the guy. It just seems like he's got to be that guy now. And, you know, we all talked about the decision to play Demko for the first Winnipeg game on Friday after how well Holtby had played in Calgary in the 5-1 win. Like, that was Holtby's best game of the year. I think the idea was, okay, I think then it was, you know, that Thatcher, in their mind, was already kind of the guy. So they came back to Demko. But then, to be fair, and Demko had a great game on Friday, the 2-0 game. That wasn't his fault. One of the 2 goals was an empty net. If he'd had a shutout, his team would have got a point. Easily could have come back with Demko on Sunday. But instead, I think, to be fair to Holtby, because he had played so well his last time out, and part of the reason for not starting a guy is to give him a little more work with Ian Clark. So Holtby's coming off his best game of the year. He had some extra work with Ian Clark because he didn't play on Friday. To be fair, give him another chance, and it didn't go well. And so now I think it will be Demko, but Demko still has to perform. Right now, the problem with the goaltending is not just that Holtby hasn't been good enough. As a whole, the goaltending hasn't been good enough. Now, Demko's played showing real signs of elevating his game now, which is great. But the Canucks, if you look back to 22 games, it's hard to find a game where you can say the goalie made the difference. The Canucks have been really good in 2 or 3 of those games. And the goalie was good too, but it's hard to find a game where you can say Demko stole them 2 points or Holtby got them a point when they should have had none. Their goaltending has to be more than ballast here. You know, it has to help. If the team's going to go northward in the standings, the goaltending is going to have to help drive it. It just can't be inert. It's got to be, you know, a catalyst, for them moving forward, and so far it hasn't been. So, yes, to the question which you asked me about 7.5 minutes ago, yes, Demko's now the guy, but he still has to perform.
And it's time running out, close to the 50% mark of the season, halfway points coming up.
Yeah, crazy.
Not too far away. IMAC, before we let you go, good take or deep reach, the next NHL made-for-TV outdoor game should be Lost Lake and Whistler. No? Okay.
No, I'm thinking about it because I've been there.
We thought we lost you there, IMAC.
No, sorry, I know. It was a long pause. I don't want to be wrong again because I am so often. No, I'd say no because I don't see how they can fit it in there, and you certainly can't play on the lake. But I've, for years, since they started the outdoor game, I'm not a fan of seeing the rink inside a baseball stadium.
Yep.
I've always thought, why don't you just build like a 5,000-seat rink in the mountains, in the Rockies, like out somewhere by Denver or Banff, I guess maybe in a national park you'd have trouble getting permission. But especially now without fans, I love the idea. And I like where you're going with the thought. I just don't think Lost Lake can accommodate it.
All right. Well, we'll look for another one maybe. Thank you, IMAC.
Somewhere up on the mountain, though.
Well, Elias Pettersson and the crew there already figured out a spot. So maybe that's the one.
All right. I'll look forward to it.
All right.
Maybe
see you, IMAC.
Can actually go there and cover it.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
It would.
Thanks, IMAC.